Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
This is Pastor George Pearsons, and welcome to this very special election broadcast of the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're so glad you're with us today, and we're going to be talking about voting. Bishop Keith Butler, David Barton, and I are going to make absolutely sure that you are going to vote. You are going to vote. Is that right? Yes, I thought I heard you say that. So, we are walking in faith for our nation. Let's go to our conversation right now. One of the things that we endeavor to do at our church is to provide voter guides for people to be able to study. It really does take some research because, you know, most of the time people don't know who they're going to vote for when they go into the polls.
They don't even know the names on the polls. They've seen the presidential name up top.
Yeah.
But when it gets down to Justice of the Peace Precinct 3, I don't even know who that is.
And that's where I really sense, I'm being convicted myself, where we need to be informing our congregations. Going back to the role of the church, we have to inform our congregations. We have to be able to provide for them information because it comes to voting day, then they decide, well, I'll go vote, and then there's a list of names there that they have no idea.
There's a website called ChristianVoterGuide.com, and you click on your state, and it'll pull up voter guides for those areas.
Okay.
And you can do that. The other thing the churches are doing now on a regular basis is they're setting up candidate forums. And on some week, they'll have all the local candidates come in. Everybody that's going to appear on the ballot, come in.
That's
very good. Church people here, we're going to ask you questions. And so you got the sheriff candidates there, and you got the school board candidates there, and you got the mayor candidates over there. Get them all. The churches ought to be doing that because that's part of education. And that's certainly something
that's
the church should do because you want to cast an informed vote. You don't want to cast a stupid vote.
Yeah, when I was a candidate for city council and elected in Detroit, the primary way in Detroit was you went from church to church to church. They'd had these candidate forums.
Yeah.
And your opponents would be there.
Is that right?
And you got to.
Hey, brother, white church has got a long way to do to catch up the black church.
I know.
Because they've been doing this for a long.
In my entire life, they've always done that.
Wow.
And the white guys say, I don't get involved in that.
No, in black churches, in black community, it's always been there.
So
I had to go there and people ask you questions, and you got to answer those questions.
So you can actually go to candidates and say, we're going to have a forum on such a night, and we would like to invite you both to come.
And you better show up.
John Hagee, man, he gets thousands showing up, and there's not a person running for city office that won't show up at his church on his candidate forum night, because that's the same as saying, I disagree with what he stands for. And, of course, he's got several thousand people sitting there. You're going to show up. You're going to show up. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you get known. You get known if you're a candidate.
Okay.
People get to hear your positions. The pastor's discharged his responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay. And people didn't know who it is that's on the ballot. And they have the opportunity, if they want, to find out, well, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? Yeah. Boy, I went to so many of them things. But at the end of the day, you'll
get asked about transgender bathrooms. They'll ask you detailed questions that the media's never going to get.
Sure.
And that's where you find out the details on what do you
think
about this?
So open forum, people come, they ask their questions.
The pastor will generally host it. He'll introduce him. He may ask two or three questions to each one, same questions. And then after it's over, the people, they go right at them.
Okay.
And sometimes they let them take questions from the floor. Depends on how many candidates you've got.
So do you find that in these gatherings that you've been to over the years, you have people from the neighborhoods coming in that may not even go to church?
Well, sure.
They show up.
Yep. People up there, if there's somebody they want to find out about somebody, they'll show up to one of those. Mm-hmm. Well, sure. And at least in the African-American community, that's still a very big thing, mm-hmm. That you come to church.
And the church ought to be center of community life.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And aspect of it.
Yeah, coming back to that place where it is the center of community life. It's taken a back seat to soccer games,
and cheerleading and...
Well, we've given it a backseat because we no longer do relevant things that draw people in from the community like we used to.
Yeah.
And that's part of the role of the church, or part of the fault of the church, is we're yielding to stuff and not giving really value-added type of things to the community. One of the questions I often ask pastors is, you know, if you stood up in your church on Sunday morning and announced we're going to close our doors and next week we won't have church, on Monday morning would the city leaders be lined up at your door saying, no, don't leave, you add too much to the community, would they even notice if you were gone?
Yeah.
And that's where we are in too many places now. The city wouldn't even notice if you're gone.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of value the church should add.
But today, you know, candidates have websites and many of them have voting records. It's all online. A lot of it is. You can find still a lot before you even come to some place where somebody might be, you see. Today, you can get the data if you want. And say in some places you have election of judges. And boy, if there's anyone who affects your life.
Oh, that's a judge.
Yeah.
It's a judge.
Oh, really?
Okay. And you really need to know who these judges are. Now, some places, you know, they're not elected, but in many places, they are elected. And you need to know these judges. And every Supreme Court justice was once a lower judge, usually. You know?
Yeah.
And how do you get to become federal judges at the federal appeals court level? Because what they were in a state court, you know? And so it's a process of working your way up.
Right.
And that's also why it matters, because if you elect a guy for dog catcher, you don't know that guy may one day turn out to be governor.
That's exactly right. And I'm going to jump on that because in the same way that he was in office, I was in office.
Yeah.
And people think for whatever reason that having my endorsement helps them somehow. So they'll ask for my endorsement. And we talked about this some last week, but I'm jumping on again. A guy comes to me and says, hey, I want your endorsement for dog catcher. I go, great. Tell me what you believe about abortion.
Yeah, there you go.
He goes, wait a minute, time out.
Yeah, what does that have
dog
to do?
Dog catcher. I said, yeah. But you know, you might not stay dog catcher. You might run for school board, and then you might run for city council, and you might run for mayor and say, and it's a heck of a lot easier to knock you off as a dog catcher than it is to knock you off as a governor.
That's true.
And if you don't get that screening started right there, that's your farm team. And you want to get the right farm team because they're going to go to the major leagues someday, and you want the right guys when they get the major leagues. And dog catcher is exactly it. You bore in, you ask them about marriage, and you, that I got nothing to do with the animals. No, but I want to know your worldview because I don't want you close to government if you got a bad worldview.
Yeah. He's talking about the power of incumbency. 90%, at least 90% of all incumbents win because they have built-in advantages.
Right.
Okay. So it's hard to knock off an incumbent.
And by the way, incumbent judges is higher than that. It's almost 99% on incumbent judges.
Yeah. Wow. You know. So you gotta pick them off at the very beginning. I was one of the few people that beat incumbents to get in. I ran ahead of two incumbents. That hadn't happened for a quarter of a century in the city I was from. You want to ask all those things now.
That's right.
Because once they get there, they now get name recognition. And most people just pull a ballot on it because they recognize the name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so name recognition is big. So once they've been elected, they can keep going. Like I said, that dog catcher one day may be governor.
That's right. That's right.
Imposing on your life everything from what happens to your children, the taxes or money coming out of your pocket, whether or not you can defend your family with a firearm or anything else. And it all started when he was first or just a local official.
Well, you take a man like Greg Abbott and governor of our state, and where did he begin? Where were his beginnings? And all of a sudden he's
on Texas. Texas continues to be very biblical in its values. We are traditional marriage. We are pro-life. Mm-hmm. We are parental rights. We are very pro-parent. We are very pro-church involvement, and it's because we elect our judges. And we've had a number of judges across the last 10 years that would give a ruling for gay marriage. Well, he wasn't elected the next time he was judge. He was gone. Yeah. Everybody who's been an activist judge in Texas has been thrown off by the people. And by the way, Kansas has a massive retention election for their judges this time. And there's some really bad incumbent. There's only one good incumbent judge in Kansas. The other guys have been activists of the Supreme Court. But retention elections run between 98 and 99% return. Man, if you're in Kansas, look at those judges. There's voting. I mean, there are voting comparisons out right now on those judges. Check them and look at them. Get those guys gone if they're activists. the reason people complain about who's on the ballot in the fall, that's a choice between the bad and the worst. Well, that's your fault, because back in the primaries, there were some good guys that you didn't move out of the primaries.
That's right.
And that usually happens on all the parties.
That's right.
And what we have is, you look at this small percentage, it's only a fraction of that that votes in primaries. And if Christians would get involved in the primaries and say, I'm going to make sure the good guy gets forward so that we got a good choice in November, I would love to see a day sometime when Democrats and Republicans are fighting over who's got the most biblical candidate in the fall. But that will not happen if you don't get involved in the party process. And people say, well, I don't want to seem partisan. I want to be neutral. All right, be that way, and you'll keep getting the choice between the bad and the worst for the rest of your life, unless you get involved in choosing those candidates at a lower level, and that means getting involved in a party process. And if you don't like the Democrat Party, great, go in and take it over. You don't like the Republican Party, great, get your buddies, go take it over. It's not that hard, because the infrastructure of parties are not that big. They're easy to get in and take over if we would do it. Don't sit on the outside and complain about it. Go inside and change it.
One more thing about that. I'm going to take it one step further.
Okay.
Okay. The financial seed that you plant also is vital to this. There's a saying that money is the mother's milk of politics, and it is very, very true. Mm-hmm. So not only do you need to vote, you need to write a check, even at this late date, because I know when I ran for statewide office, late money is golden. It is golden. The last 4 or 5 days, maybe you can buy the extra TV commercial, whether you can whether you can hit this now area that you just learned about or something else that came up. That money is really important, particularly in the primaries, because the parties then support whoever came out of the primaries. So, so now they may get some money, they may get some help, they may get some support, but that born again, word Christian candidate may not get any support from any party apparatus, and the only money they may have may be just what they personally invest.
Sure.
And just some checks that would help people get over the hump may determine, again, whether or not in the fall who you get is the really good candidate from that party, or whether or not you get one, they may be of the party you want, but
And I would encourage people to do one other thing, and that is, go online and look up George Washington's farewell address.
Ah, okay.
In his farewell address, he talks about the danger of loving a party more than you love principle. Now, he's not against parties. You have to have, easiest way I can say it is, a party is nothing more than a car. It's going to take you somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's who you put behind the driver's wheel that determines where that car goes. Yep. Because parties are vehicles, but who you elect to drive your bus is where tell you where you go. Okay. So Washington talked about parties, that's not a bad deal, but when you love your party more than you love your principles, now we got trouble. Now, I'm very involved in a party because I think every Christian should be. Choose your party and take your values with you. Don't pick up their values, you take them your values. When you get there, don't love that party. As a party guy, which I have to be able to influence things, I actually gave money to a person of the other party last time, because that person, the person from my party in that race was against marriage and against life, and the person from the other party was for marriage and for life.
Oh, that's my gosh, kick you out the party. You gave money
that's
to
exactly
the other
right.
side.
I did. Because I'm going to vote for principles.
He just said it on television.
It's bad. I said it. And you can blame it on George Washington. Because I'm going to love principles more than I love party. And that's the way it is.
But how about loving God above?
There you go. You're going to take another step further, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, don't make this thing religious on this broadcast, brother.
What would you say? Now, I'm really gaining a lot from this. But what I'm looking at right now is the fact that the clock is ticking and Election Day is next week. What do you tell somebody who is watching this and they're saying, I wasn't going to vote, I don't know who's out there, I don't know what's going on? What do you tell them at this late date?
There is no shortage of information at this late date.
Okay.
ChristianVoterGuide.com, again, has voters' guides for those states. At the federal level, there's all sorts of groups that have voters' guides. Let me caveat that. there's all sorts of Christian biblical groups that have voters' guides. There's voter guides for progressives, and there's voter guides for everybody else.
Yeah.
We're talking a biblical viewpoint here.
Yeah.
So there's no shortage of good groups that have a biblical voting viewpoint guide. You can get that very easily. Social media is all over out there. People are posting voters' guides. I mean, just look on your Facebook. There's going to be voters' guides everywhere. There's no reason not to have a very informed vote between now and next Tuesday.
What is it that you look at in your platform when you're talking about a voter guide? You're looking at what the candidate believes about abortion.
Well, when we create voters' guides.
Or the party.
Well, we create a lot of voters' guides, and I never take a candidate what they say if I have what they've done. If I have a voting record for that candidate, I don't care. You know, if I'm sitting here and I say, I'm a banana tree, but I keep producing apples, what are you going to believe, what I say or what I do? And so anytime I create a voting guide, and we create them at Wall Builders all the time, National Black Robe Regiment, we create them for pastors and churches, is if there is a voting record of somebody's incumbent, we will take what they have done.
Okay.
Now, if someone has no voting record, we will go what their own record with. Interviews they've given, we will go to their websites, we'll go to letters to the editor, whatever they've done, and we typically take 7 to 10 issues that have very clear biblical underpinnings.
Okay.
And we will look at where they are in life, on parental issues, at Israel, what they do with Israel,
mm-hmm.
what they do with choice and competition and education. Things that you can point to very easily, sexuality, transgender stuff,
judges,
rights of conscience. That's where we'll go, and that's what our voters' guides look like. And we do guides that are made for churches. They're 501c3 friendly. You can put it out in church. Nobody's going to be in trouble.
So they can find that right now.
That's easy.
The next thing is that you go to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. You seek the Lord about, all right, now I'm armed with information. Okay, who do I, whatever. And then I would tell you, since you still got a few days left, okay, not only should you vote, you should write a check to whoever you're going to vote for that the Lord give you, and do it right now. Yep. Send the check, because I'm telling you that late money matters.
And you should also grab several of your neighbors by the scruff of their neck and drag them with you to vote.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
You should grab several of your neighbors by the scruff of their neck and drag them with you to vote. You don't let people sit at home when they can vote.
Yep.
If you're in the military, there's easy process for military voting. If you're overseas deployed, if you got folks overseas deployed, those ballots can still be counted up to 30 days late. They have a deadline whereby they can come in. So, I mean, it's easy to vote, and there's no reason not to vote, and you don't let your neighbors sit at home either. You get them involved, get them engaged. Song of Solomon 8:13 says, your friends listen to your voice, so speak.
Sure.
I mean, it's like, step up, do something, because people do. Everybody in America today has a pool of influence of some kind, whether it's just their family, whether it's social media and they got 25 friends, whatever it is, use it.
And in many states, you have same-day registration. So even if you're not registered right now, today, you can still vote.
Like, give me do you know a state offhand that does?
Well, Texas doesn't, but there are provisional ballots. And so if you think, I think I was registered, but I don't really know if I can go cast a provisional ballot, and they'll look it up. And if you're not, it doesn't count.
Okay.
But there are a number of states, I think, come on, Bishop, help me.
I think Missouri is one, right?
Missouri, I think, is one. I think up in Maine is one. There's a bunch of them. You can look up same-day voter registration states on Google. You'll find it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of states that do that.
There are even, because there was a recent court case on it, even if you don't have an ID, there are some places where the courts have now ruled, even if you don't have a driver's license, they still let you vote.
You can just go in.
You can still vote.
And vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're still asking me in Texas for my ID, so.
Well, Texas is, I love Texas.
We've got it together.
I personally think Texas is the best state in the whole union, but. I lived here for a little while, of course I'm back in Michigan, and no disrespect to Michigan, but you're about as close as you're going to get to the standards to where they used to be here.
Tell me a little bit about the Electoral College and how that works. Some of us don't
Here's
know.
The deal. The Electoral College, we got to back up in history a little bit to the Constitution and to the time of it. At the Constitutional Convention, Roger Sherman, who is a theologian from Connecticut, he's the one who really implements the idea of the bicameral system. And the bicameral system is we're going to have a Senate and we're going to have a House. Now, their original plan is very simple. The Senate will represent the states and the House will represent the people. Mm. And the reason is, there's a couple reasons. Mm-hmm. Back then, with 13 colonies, three colonies had more population than the rest of the 10.
Okay.
And so they're sitting there, whoa, now wait a minute. If Pennsylvania and New York and Massachusetts get together, they can run all the rest of us. And that's not any good. That means the rest of us don't have a voice in anything that goes on. How do we get a voice? And so what they did was they said, okay, we'll count population here, and that's what the House is. So for every now 740,000 people you get a representative in the House. In the Senate, they said, you know what? We're going to count everybody equal. Every state gets two senators. So Rhode Island has just as much clout in the Senate as New York does.
Okay.
So what happens is the Electoral College takes both of those and puts them together. You don't just win by popular vote, because if you did, the presidential candidate would start in Seattle and go to Portland and then go to Oakland and San Francisco and then stop by L.A. and stop by San Diego and then we'll come across to Phoenix. And while we're there, let's come across to El Paso and let's hit Dallas-Fort Worth and San Antonio and Houston. Mm-hmm. Let's go to New Orleans. You just run the coast and you can
just
win the election.
Okay.
You would never visit Oklahoma. You would never visit Idaho. You would never visit any of the other states. So what they require, the Electoral College requires you to win a significant percentage of the vote, it may not be majority, and a significant percentage of states. So you can't just have all your votes from the outer perimeter. You got to have votes from across. So what it does is it makes sure that everybody gets a voice at some level. The Electoral College is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant idea. People say, well, the guy who got 46% of the vote won. Yeah, but he got 55% of the states. And so what you do is it balances those two things together. Mm-hmm. So the Electoral College is a very brilliant way. Now, the other thing is the Founding Fathers in the 9th and 10th Amendment, in the Constitution, they said, we allow the federal government to do 17 things. That's it. That's all they can do. And the 9th Amendment says, now, any of those things that we've listed, anything beyond those 17 belongs to the people.
Yeah.
The 10th Amendment says anything beyond those 17 belongs to the states. So the 9th Amendment represents the House of Representatives. The 10th Amendment represents the Senate. What we did was in the 17th Amendment of the Constitution, we said, oh, let's not let the Senate represent states anymore. They'll just be a super House of Representatives. Mm. And so by having the senators no longer represent the states, now you got the House and you got a super House. So we've lost some of the influence we had with the Electoral College. But the Electoral College is a brilliant, brilliant way of making sure that guys who lived in Oklahoma also had a voice with the guys who lived in California.
Okay. It protects the rights of the minority.
That's right.
Protects the rights of the minority.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.